My name is Linda Schubring, the Vice President of Leadership Vision.
And my name is Brian Schubring, the President of Leadership Vision. And today in the podcast, we are talking about a unique opportunity that Linda and I just had to lead a keynote workshop and a keynote facilitation at a conference with one of our enterprise clients.
You're listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. Hello, everyone. It's Nathan Freeberg. And as Brian and Linda have already told us, today on the podcast, we're recapping a recent event. The reason we're sharing this is because we felt it was not only a helpful example of what we do with groups of like 100 people in a large conference-type setting, but also to help shed some light on how we're taking the language and philosophy of strengths and expanding it to help organizations grow, overcome various challenges and hurdles, and all around just help move their mission forward. It's one thing to understand your strengths and even the strengths of someone else, but to really move the needle on becoming an organization rooted in strengths, you must understand how your strengths impact the way you do certain things. The keynote workshop and facilitation Brian and Linda led at this conference was all about change. As you'll hear, this organization, who we've worked with many, many times, well, they wanted to help some top leaders better navigate those tumultuous waters of change. Brian and Linda will go into greater depth on this, but in short, we first conducted a 75-minute strength session where we looked at the top five themes of the group as a whole and then offered everyone a chance to look a little deeper at their own themes of strength through the lens of change. Next, there was an educator who also talked about change, and then Brian and Linda came back to integrate both of those sessions. It was a pretty cool experience, and if you have questions or want to dive down deeper into any of the points shared here today, please send us an email at connect@leadershipvisionconsulting.com. Okay, here's Linda providing a bit more context about this client and engagement, and then we're just going to jump into the discussion. Enjoy.
One of our enterprise clients had a huge conference that they were gathering some of the key leaders together that represented 0.6% of this whole organization. And it was a room full of people, and we were charged to bring strengths and bring a strengths perspective. They were considering other psychometrics, assessments, what would they bring to add value to this conference, and one of the internal advocates suggested strengths. So we brought strengths to the table, but their focus was how to navigate change well. So we dropped a change lens on the strengths conversation. So all the leaders were filling out their theme prints using like, what would they do in change? Or how would they navigate change? Does this talent really resonate with me in this theme of strength?
Right, because we know that there's not like these strengths are good for change. They all help us with the change process, right?
Right.
And when they were considering what type of content that they wanted to deliver for this conference, we were part of the conversation because many of the people that were going to be attending this senior leadership conference, we had already worked with. So this enterprise is going through massive organizational change on a scale that we haven't seen in 21 years. And so everything's really being turned upside down. Now, since this enterprise client has already invested significantly in strengths, one of our internal advocates asked the question, how can we integrate this strengths-based approach to massive organizational change? And so when that was brought up, saying that Leadership Vision has an organizational knowledge of our culture and of our senior leadership, how is it that we can use our expertise in organizational change to be part of this conference? And so when we were brought into the conversation, we probably had 3 months of planning that went into this 2-day conference, and the day that we were part of was the first day of the 2-day conference. The day started with a keynote speaker, and that keynote speaker addressed some of the broader issues of organizational change. That keynote speaker was then followed by Linda and myself, and what we did was what I like to coin is a keynote workshop. So we did a brief keynote presentation on strengths-based change leadership and how a strengths-based approach to change can really help and benefit the people that were in the room.
So for 75 minutes, we had them talking, we had them moving. It was just a dip into strengths that was pretty quick, although those that had been through it were wonderful advocates and were helping others at their tables.
So in this conference room, we had 12 tables of eight, so we had 96 of the senior leaders within this enterprise, and about 20% of the participants had already been through some deep experience of strengths with us already. And so we had people that were there that were internal advocates, but most of the room had never met us before. They had probably done strengths, but they've never had any real deep dive with strengths. So that was kind of the foundation that we stepped into for this conference.
One of the things we did when we used our pictures to introduce ourselves was we didn't just talk about how our strengths show up. We talked about how our strengths show up in change. When your strengths show up in change, it often looks very different based on the context, but you can learn a lot of lessons from it. The kind of conversation that ensued after was really catalytic. They were listening to each other in another way and not just having a philosophical talk about how to navigate change well, but really as a person, as a professional who has a certain strength set, they were navigating change out of who they were and the shaping aspects of their story.
Mm-hmm. How many people were there?
100.
100 people. So how do you facilitate? I mean, we've all been part of like these big conferences where you go in, they share some information and it just kind of sits there or doesn't sit there. Maybe it, you know, you remember something, you take some notes. So how did you facilitate that? What's sort of the leadership vision model, if you will, of working with a group that large?
Well, you know, Nathan, we specialize in integration. We want to integrate the material. We want to make it applicable. We want people to walk away with something. We also want to create things that we would want to sit through. And so we leverage story. We leverage our story. There were times in the room where you could hear a pin drop. There were times in the room where it was definite engagement with the nodding and the making eyes with someone else across the room because they've experienced something like that. We try to find common stories where people can put themselves in those spaces so that they can understand and be a part of it and really make it their own and not just kind of regurgitate a bunch of information that we're sharing.
Because before we ever want to talk about how strengths can help inform the way that we all adapt and cope to change, we wanted to make sure that everyone had a chance to connect to one common story that we've all experienced, a change that everyone in the room could have experienced that they've all navigated successfully. So that was the first thing we wanted to do was how can we unite all 100 participants around one specific change we've all experienced to show we can make it through change, we can learn through change, and this change that we're facing, we can navigate through this. So what we did was we just set up a narrative that just asked the question, like, how many of you have successfully navigated changing schools?
And so just by
saying that, you know, it's going to bring back memories. It's going to bring back certain smells. You can probably see the classroom. Certain people's faces are going to come up. I can see you nodding and laughing already. But everyone in the room was doing the same thing. They're like nudging their neighbor. And there was immediate memories of that time. And so what we did was we asked them, like, how many schools have you gone to? How many of those changes have you navigated? And each time you were a little better. But the core emotion around change that we experience in school and within this massive organizational change was fear. Everyone had some level of emotional and relational fear in making the transition, and that's how we started. Everyone can connect to that emotional and relational fear when changing schools, and the same thing is being faced in this enterprise-wide organizational change.
Those stories of changing schools and the fear that surrounds that is as personal as their strengths results. And as they went to some quiet time, there was some lovely music being played in the background during their theme print, but they spent 15 minutes of quiet. which also served the introverts in the room, which also allowed this space of just not being inundated with material and you're at a conference or someone needs to entertain you, but instead they could do their own personal reflection. They could reorder their strengths from a functional perspective with a lens of change. And that part was really catalytic, which led to the last part.
So once we set it up with the strengths, we did our story, connected it to the school change, did the theme print, then we finished it by walking through the top five most frequent strengths in the room. And what we wanted to demonstrate was, you know, we didn't want to walk through all 34 strengths. That'd be somewhat redundant and not, you know, conducive to the type of keynote that we were doing. But Linda had an idea of how can we demonstrate the five most common and frequent themes in the room, and how can we demonstrate how each of those five strengths might respond when faced with massive change? Because as we all know, strengths are adapting to the context around them, and there can be these extreme swings of response by one specific type of strength. So we wanted to show to these leaders is, just because you know that somebody has a certain strength, they may respond completely different than what you could ever anticipate. So I thought this was perhaps the most engaging part of our keynote workshop, was this demonstration of the differences in strengths. I think right now we could probably share a few examples of how these
really
strengths could show up.
Curious to know, like, what were those strengths? How did they show up for these people? And then maybe once we're done with that, like, what difference did that make? Like, was there any follow-up that you heard? Like, conversation after the workshop was done that was like, oh, wow, this is a great takeaway. Something's really hit home for these folks.
Like Brian had said, we had worked with this client before over multiple years. And so we knew, actually, I guessed the top five and I nailed it. And so we
of
had
course
to
you did.
We had to submit the deck before they had submitted all their strengths results to us. And because of their level of leadership, I assumed there would be achiever and responsibility because of the level of the things that they need to know. I knew that there would be learner. I knew that there would probably be relator based on some of the ways that they build into the relational fabric, and even that they would have a conversation around change and what it means for people was pretty powerful. So I knew relator would be in there. And of course, we often find that strategic is a common theme of strength because oftentimes that strength is the people that can make the decision. So the only one that we didn't talk about, which was number six, was arranger. But also this, so this was a high performing group. But once again, even if they had one of the top five or all of the top five most common in the room, they just showed up so differently and their stories were so different.
So, for example, with the strength of achiever, that was the most frequent theme in the room. And so we started with that one. And so we wanted to just demonstrate that just because you know somebody has the strength of achiever, you don't know how they're going to respond. And like with any demonstration of strengths, it's like this pendulum swing of potential variance that you could know. So in the midst of change, we said there could be some people with the strength of achiever that could know exactly what to do. They begin making the list for themselves. They begin to think about people that are on their teams and what work they could be doing based upon their past experience. And they could execute a chart a course of work forward that could be truly catalytic for a team. And that could be one extreme expression of the strength of achiever. The other extreme expression of achiever could be the exact opposite, that this person, when faced with large organizational change, could completely freeze up and not know what to do at all. Like they wouldn't know where to start working because it's so new and that they could be just almost paralyzed with fear. And then any expression in the middle. So as we're saying this, you could see people's eyes like get really big and like nodding. You could see them thinking of people and how the response. We wanted to demonstrate that, you know, change can have a completely different impact on people no matter what their strength is. And then the great thing about this part was then Linda had done her homework ahead of time and she actually looked through all of her notes and kind of like called out of there the unique quotes that people in the room actually said about their strength of achiever.
What were some of those quotes?
Well, there were things like, and these are some of the other strengths, but there was a leader that said, set direction up, down, and sideways. That could be responsibility. It could be
sure.
A mix of arranger. One of my favorites was a quote about strategic. Now, this was a high-capacity leader, been in the industry forever, really, really a catalytic leader, came in to solve big issues, big problems. Mm. And one of the things he said was around the theme of strength strategic, and he said, if it's not on fire, don't call me. And we loved that because that kind of quote is saying, don't call me in to be a part of a decision if we're going to sit at the table and keep talking about it
right.
and have that philosophical discussion and then like guess about it and then wonder what kind of buy-in we need. But if it's on fire, he can step in based on his other strengths as well. He can make a choice.
Another one of the strengths that we demonstrated was strategic, because we knew that this was one of those, you know, unique strengths that a lot of people have, but everybody who doesn't have it actually wants it. And so we did want to talk about that, because we responded here again back to that extreme example where in the midst of great organizational change, some people with the strength of strategic may know exactly what to do, what decisions to make for their team, even for the organization, and they want to take action right away. On the other side of it, the same thing as we said with Achiever, that a person with the strength of strategic could be, again, not know what decisions to make to move forward. And here's something that we also said. We also know that there are people with the strength of strategic when facing large change could strategically make decisions to opt out and to avoid the change and even look productive in doing it. But when you step back and look at them, you're like, hey, wait a minute. You're deciding your way around this challenge, and it looks like you're being busy, but you're not really making good decisions to affect the organization. And so just by those two examples, we wanted people to understand that one of the ways that we can be mindful of change is how it's impacting each person individually, because really to navigate change is to be able to help individual people navigate change.
And after we talked about this, I mean, the wheels were turning in the audience. And once again, we did not talk about 29 strengths. And so there was some curiosity there, some offline conversations at lunch and later on that day about like, well then what does it look like for me, or what's the extreme in my theme of strength? And so we had some really great conversations that way.
So if I can summarize, you did a mini strengths presentation where you helped the participants kind of understand and think through change using their lens of strengths, whatever those strengths happen to be. You talked about the five most common themes of strength and helped people think into like, what does that look like? Shared some examples. I'm sure there was some laughs and chuckles as people were thinking of people they knew with those themes. And then, as I understand it, there was another speaker who came in, a large enterprise educator, that also talked about the topic of change. And then after lunch or something, you came back and had to weave that together with that first presentation and kind of guide them through a variety of like very specific directed questions. So I'm curious, like, what was that like? I don't know that I've ever had to do something like that, where you're synthesizing someone else's presentation on top of ours. So talk a little bit about that was like, because it sounds both intense and a little bit like improv comedy, where not that you're making it up on the spot, but you're having to kind of weave it in and, you know, yes and everybody.
Yes, and.
And.
So first of all, the facilitator, the enterprise educator was excellent. She was poised. The information was great. It was a lot of information. And so, as Brian's saying, you know, we pieced it all out a little bit and then gave time for these table groups to really have a discussion about it and not just, you know, nodding along like, yeah, we kind of all agree. They had to see themselves in it. They had to jot down notes. They were also getting to know each other at the tables. So part of it was just us reading the room. Part of this was we do this with groups. Even when we're teaching, and I think Brian and I in particular have a synergy that just kind of welcomes people into that space.
We'll be right back.
At Leadership Vision Consulting, we have spent 23 years helping individuals explore the depth and dimension of their personal strengths and have helped hundreds of teams build positive culture. We're excited to now announce our new online membership platform, that brings together the resources, community, and motivation that you need to grow your influence and build a positive team culture. Through our courses, workshops, live Q&A sessions, and more, you'll gain the skills and confidence you need to lead effectively. And with our supportive community of like-valued leaders, you'll never feel like you're doing it alone. Visit leadershipvisionconsulting.com/community to learn more.
One of the great opportunities that we had at this conference was during this keynote facilitation, we were given the chance to do something which I think doesn't happen that often at a conference, and that is give people the chance to kind of step back, reflect, and ask questions like, what did I hear? And what difference does that information mean to me and to those around the table? Now, these people were seated at tables where they may have just met that person for the first time, or they may have interacted with them online and never really in person. So they were interacting across the different sections of the organization. But each time that we had one of these facilitated discussions, we would have up on the screens what the main question was and a few drop-down points. And so what Linda and I would do was we would obviously read from what was on the screen. Then we would also provide some high-level commentary or interaction on what was taught or spoken about earlier in the day to remind the participants, here's what we were talking about. And then we had 3 to 5 prompts that they could follow along and have 10 to 15 minutes to discuss that. So in this unique opportunity, you were able to internalize what you were learning and also then ask yourself, how am I going to apply this and how is the organization going to apply that?
As a facilitator, one of the first temptations that you often experience is just to be the teller, to be the expert, to demonstrate that you know everything there is to know about this. We had to intentionally step back and let the people do the talking, because the people who do the talking do the learning. And we kept putting them into conversation pairs. We encouraged them to talk at tables. We even had some time, quiet time for all the introverts. And after this, you know, quiet 5 minutes of reflection, I just said, "You're welcome, introverts." And they just, the crowd roared with laughter. And people, introverts actually came up to me afterwards and was like, "That was my favorite part of the day."
And so the afternoon was a series of going back and forth of us, you know, summarizing one of the topics and then having the tabletop discussions. And we did that 6 different times. As a matter of fact, the enterprise educator came in halfway and gave like a really quick recap of some of the things that she taught to kind of spur the conversation on for the next 3 discussion sessions. So Nathan, imagine, you know, a 2-hour conference session where, you know, an hour and 45 minutes was designated just towards table discussions.
That's incredible that they were able to do that.
I know. And imagine the learning that's happening around that table, as well as like this level of self-awareness of how different you are from some people and how you think, or even how similar you are and how you think about relationships or strategy. But I think for the most part, one of the big takeaways for Linda and I was to watch the relationships form, was to know the people that didn't know each other prior to being there, and then to watch them talk with each other at the tables or, you know, in the back of the room, and to see that grow too. That was one of the objectives of the day, was to build relationships among those that didn't quite have that before they got there.
And when we ended the day, we ended with a debrief. Now there were 12 tables. So I was a little concerned about people that wanted to grab a mic and talk for a long time.
Share
all of their thoughts and everything that was recounted at the table. So in some of my facilitation magic goodie bag, my magic tricks, somewhere in my facilitation magic tricks, I pulled out this one. I had everyone stand up when they were finally done with their discussion, so the whole room was standing. And then they had selected someone that was going to speak and kind of offer a reflection, and we were going to hear from every single table. So even a minute times 12 is a lot, right? And I said, "Now, you chose someone, but I'm going to ask you, you will only have 90 seconds to speak. So you have to choose someone that's maybe a little more concise." And so they had an opportunity to reselect their person and to a
table. How many of them did?
They all did. It was excellent. Right?
Because high capacity, right? Yeah.
High capacity, high performing leaders, when they're given a boundary, they know how to step up and they know how to step into that space. And so it was excellent. And so I just stood on the stage with my little timer, countdown timer, and there was going to be a big annoying something and we were just going to clap and move on. But not one person did. And then people are really listening to each other. Like, I can listen to you for 90 seconds. It's not just, oh yeah, I've said the same thing, or our table agrees. There was great synergy. You can tell that this organization is aligned at the leadership level. That was super encouraging, really exciting to even witness that and be a part of that. And so as we ended, it was just this final go around. And then we worked with this enterprise educator to kind of wrap it up and give them some next steps and encouragement. So it was exhausting. It was exciting. It was not necessarily what we expected. We kind of volunteered ourselves into this space, knowing that we have done enough of these to know what something great might look like, and the stars aligned, and it was a blast.
That's awesome. I'm so excited to hear this. And it sounds like this group of high capacity leaders have really got something that they can use in their proverbial goodie bag of tricks as they enter into this new time of change at their organization. Any last minute takeaways? Any final thoughts? Anything that we can apply, the folks that weren't at this great conference?
Part of my big takeaway was to actually watch people interact in a conference setting in a way that I have not experienced before. There's value to being in an educational setting where you're learning, but I also know from the work that we do that there's some type of learning that happens in a different dimension when you're sitting with your peers that all share the same context, they know the same people, and when you begin to talk from that point of view, I know that you learn better when you're hearing from peers, when you consider that others have an expertise that you don't have, and when you have a shared context. And so I think that the way that this conference was architected really capitalized not only on the opportunity to have all these leaders there, but also capitalized on some of the ways that human beings learn. And several of those key elements were there: common context, a shared vision, people that are known and trusted as executive leaders, and common problems, challenges, and dilemmas. They all shared those things in common. And by having table discussions, you realize you do have something unique to offer. And if you're given an opportunity to speak multiple times to the same people, that expertise will get even more sharper and more distinct, which causes even more learning. So I think that there were several layers of learning here that were afforded the participants that you would never encounter in a conference setting. So I thought, you know, why not do this again? You know, why? Yeah. So why not help other people who have this same, you know, set up where they really want to accomplish something specific? How could we possibly help them in this keynote facilitation type of a delivery?
Some of my final thoughts have to do with the privilege of being with these leaders. They trusted us with their stories over the years. They were advocating for us, those that had been through the process, and then to step in and to really add value and to really communicate to this community that we really care about them, and not just that they're a client, but that being relational and intentional is part of the fabric of who Leadership Vision is. So that part was great. I go back to, Nathan, though, that you said, you know, it's kind of like improv. And it was. It was.
That's
and,
fun.
And it's fun. It's scary. And I think there was part of it where Brian and I just kind of got over ourselves and kind of went for it and didn't try to be anything that we're not, but knew what could happen at the tables. And that's what Brian was just describing. We knew that the magic would actually happen at the tables. The learning would happen and be sparked there that would lead into, you know, future change initiatives. And we felt honored to be a part of that. To be a part of something excellent is just honoring and humbling. And we had to do our homework before the improv, so that, you know, we had our jokes loaded and
things we have knew. Worked in other contexts.
Exactly.
Try it
exactly.
again.
Yeah. But seriously, folks.
Right,
anyway.
Right. Boom. What I love about this and hearing you recap all of this is, one, good for this client for maybe taking a bit of a risk, but for allowing the space and the time and the opportunity for these folks to dive into a topic that's very important to the organization, but also a chance to kind of explore themselves. I think that's one of the greatest gifts leaders can give those that are following them, is just time to develop as people. So it's great that there was that opportunity. But I also love hearing our take on it, the leadership vision take of let's also show up in that space and take what we know and our experience and our knowledge and be present to see what happens, to, using this improv metaphor here, kind of go where the joke leads, go where the story takes us, and ultimately gets to the place that we want to end up at the end of the day. So I hope more organizations will, it's going to sound very salesy, but take us up on this, invite us to be a part of the opportunity to grow your organization, to lean into some difficulty, and also develop your people. Thank you for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. If you found value from this episode, we'd appreciate it if you would subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and a host of others. Please share this podcast and our other resources with anyone you think would benefit from going deeper into our strengths-based approach to individual, team, and organizational development. I'm Nathan Freeberg, and on behalf of our entire team, thanks for listening.